The following Big Breakfast contains Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
Friday, welcome to it. What a thrill. Big show on the way as well. Didn't we have some fun today?
Oh, yeah. Married at First Sight. We had to have two bites at this cherry because there was something cruel and awful and horrible. I was going to say heartfelt. It wasn't heartfelt.
At all.
Horrible on the show that I brought to you two. And sadly, Marto, you...
Hey, listen. I'll accept you know a little bit about emotions and stuff. But then you chimed in the car of the year and said, oh, what a crap car. For 2 years in a row, expert had said it's been the car of the year. And you went, oh, I don't like
what
it.
What do you know?
What would you know?
You're not wheels.
It's just everyone else agrees with me.
And a poor cafe owner in Jindalee is really copping it because he's been employing workers with special needs.
No, toss the bird to the knucklehead who said employ normal people. This bloke is a bloody champ and it shows what a heart Brisbane's got.
Oh, good. I'm glad you said toss the bird to here. I thought you were going to say this.
I thought you were saying he was a champion. Okay, Marto.
I thought I was going to go.
What have you done?
Extraordinary story from the western suburbs of Brisbane. The owner of a Brisbane burger store, I saw him on the news, okay, and he was reduced to tears because some people reacted to some of his staff. Actually, I'll let him tell the story. It's Michael Pulverenti from Burger Plate out at Jindalee. Hiya, Michael.
Very well, thank you. Good morning, guys.
Mate, can you tell what a lot of people would have seen on the news the other night, but some of your staff are being abused?
Yes, look, it's just little comments that do happen from time to time. Some not so effective, but this one here did actually affect me more than anybody else. I was able to keep it from the staff, which was the most important thing. But I had a gentleman that waited probably an extra 3-4 minutes. There was a little bit of a muck-up with change of sauce. And the person that was taking the order wasn't quite getting it. Sometimes they come in and they're absolutely amazing. This particular day, it was a little bit difficult for them to make the change. So I took the order over. We completed the order, and as I handed the burger to the gentleman, he grabbed it and started to take a step and said that I should be employing normal people. And I was floored. I was absolutely floored. He walked away. I didn't even have a chance to react.
Michael, we better explain something, the fact that you employ people with special needs.
Yep.
Which is fabulous. Which is wonderful.
Thank you.
Is it obvious to your customers? Do they know that?
I don't think they do. Some of my regulars have picked up some of my staff. One in particular has got Tourette's. When he has a particular day, his tics a little bit more obvious and his speech changes and he says some colourful words in the background that we all chuckle about.
Oh, that's
but
great.
We embrace it, so he becomes a lot more comfortable about it.
Gordon Ramsay.
Absolutely, yeah, Gordon Ramsay, get your heart out. But we appreciate when they say it as opposed to Gordon Ramsay's antics.
Yes.
But look, our regulars have picked up on it, but what happened basically is I felt that maybe the general public needed to know. Our store has picked up in volume in business, and I thought maybe it is time. We've been doing this for 2 years. It hasn't been for any reason, but my wife and I and the crew, we just enjoy employing staff and give them the opportunity that may have
special
needs.
So good, mate. Beautiful thing. You've hired staff with conditions such as Asperger's, yes, bipolar, yes, severe anxiety and Tourette's, but obviously, yes, being a burger restaurant, you have been smart enough not to hire anyone with a binge eating disorder. And I like that move, you know what I mean?
No. Although if you look at myself during lunchtime, you may question that.
Michael, I've been to your cafe.
Oh, you know where it is.
Yeah, I do. Because
I believe you swim next door.
I do.
Behind us or something, is that right?
I do. Pool. That's why I know about it, because my kids and I have been there. Your staff are fantastic. It irritates me no end that you actually have to go public to make excuses for the fact that you are running your business with heart. But I will say that your burgers are to die for.
Oh, thank you. We think so, but it's great to hear it. We don't never get sick of hearing it every day. We do.
Just tell everyone where you are. I will say it's near the Jindalee Pool, which is where I swim, but your actual location?
We're at Jindalee Village, 62 Lurana Street, Jindalee.
The person who complained then said that you need to employ normal people. Did you give it to him?
No, I didn't. I didn't have the chance to. Normally I would have. My wife said, thank God, that he actually walked out straight away. And in hindsight, it was fantastic because I carried it around with me for weeks. Yeah. And that's why I needed to let it known to the public. I probably wouldn't have come out if I had the opportunity to speak to him and give him a piece of my mind. Mind you, I wouldn't have said anything horrible. I probably wouldn't have given him the burger and let him just drool over the great burger. Oh.
Mate, people like you are what makes our city great. Well done, man.
Thank you so much. And it's all the guys out there that have got little conditions. They're the heroes, not me.
Michael Pulverenti from Burger Plate at Jindalee. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
You said something after 7 o'clock that has so disturbed me that need to keep talking about it. It was based on Married at First Sight. If you watched it last night, there was a really disturbing event that went down. So the couple of Heidi, who's the girl with the really big hair, she's a radio announcer from the Sunny Coast. In fact, I think she's just joined our network. She's going to be broadcasting up at sea. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. The okay, one looks like Ash Pollard.
She looks a bit like her, yes. Yeah. And the guy she's now married is a guy called Mike. And he is also from Queensland. He's the bald guy, quite buffed.
He's quite full of himself.
Yes, he is. They went on their honeymoon last night. And I want you to imagine.
It's not really their honeymoon, Robin.
Okay, well, they went on their Married at First Sight honeymoon.
Yes.
Right? And they're put on a boat in the Whitsunday. They get off the boat. They go to a beach. And Heidi clearly has some history that she wants to share with Mike to kind of get him involved in her life. This is partly what she said.
I had to go and live in foster care, got government housing, and then lived by myself.
Lived in government housing?
Little unit. And so that's when I'd ride my bike to school and then ride to work after school. So then I'd work and then ride home at like 10 o'clock at night.
Awful story. She was 16, right?
Foster child.
And you would think that anyone hearing that story would be emotionally connected, sympathetic, empathetic. Oh, no. First, you're going to hear what Mike was saying in his head, and then you're going to hear what he actually said to her.
Honestly, I just lose focus after a while.
When I look back at it, I think of it more of a blessing.
How hot is it today?
What the hell just happened?
I'm sorry that I cut you off, but just looks like you're ranting at me.
Wow.
I'm not your therapist. This isn't therapy. You're just telling me.
You are such a hypocrite.
That's awful.
She's on the wrong show.
Why?
She should have somebody helping her out. Like, she's obviously got some issues. That's not what you take to your new TV husband.
And this is what you said just after seven too. And I was sadly concerned that there would be other people that think like this. Because what I believe that a lot of women do, not all, but a lot, we all have our stories. We all have the thing that we feel that most connects us emotionally. And if you're trying to get into a relationship with someone and form trust, you're going to share that story.
Not straight away, you're not.
Why not? Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much their second date, isn't it? You know what I mean? No, I know it's technically their honeymoon, but it's the second time
I've got some experience. I've been with my partner, married
Lovely
for a long
Kath.
Time, 30, coming into 32 years.
Yeah.
You don't start with the big one. You start with fun. You start with enjoyment. You start with the good things. And then you go, hey, listen, I got this bad thing. But you tell it. You don't tell it earlier. Can we actually? No, I'm not going to sit here battling with you. 1-333-53.
No, but it's so fun.
No, it's not fun. Because my theory is, and maybe I just picked the right partner. Stay shallow, be happy, and then you get a bit deeper. The roots get deeper and wider. You don't go first out. There's a reason she's good looking, but she's in her 30s and not married because she keeps telling that one story on the first. Yes, 1-333-53. Don't argue.
She's being emotional. She's trying to be honest and upfront, and she's allowing him to see who she truly
is. That's what your girlfriends are for, not for the bloke who you want to sleep with.
Oh my God, what if they're supposed to be together for the rest of their lives? Of course.
They'll get there if they're meant to be.
I think Robin has confused Marto, the ex-wallaby, with Dr. Phil.
No, she hasn't.
No, I haven't.
Just check with everyone else.
Okay, 1-333-53.
Do you go deep to start? That hasn't got a future deep starting.
Okay, how quickly do you
shallow start and then start digging?
All right, 1-333-53.
How do you build a building?
Okay, good. Foundations first.
You start and you build a building.
Which is actually...
She went deep straight away.
Yes, she did, because the foundations need to be deep. Thank you.
No, there weren't any foundations, Robin. Yeah. There was nothing. She just went, here, cop this. It's like throwing rubbish on a bloke.
That's why Marto loves the Queenslander houses. Yeah. Up high, nothing underneath.
No, that's right, empty.
Okay, Ian of Manly, what do you think about this?
Oh, I'm sorry, Rob, I'm with Marto on this one. Absolute romance killer. They're on the honeymoon and look, she's revealing that she has more bags than a Louis Vuitton shop and it's going to spook him. No, spook any man. I'm with Marto.
Yeah, but, okay, don't you want to know who you're dealing with? And, like, in this particular scenario, I mean, most of the couples fail anyway. At least she's kind of going, this is what it is. She doesn't expect an answer from him. She just wants to share.
What do you reckon, Ian? You have fun first and then... Fun first and then you might be able to handle the bad news.
Well, look, maybe I'm a little old-fashioned, but I think there's a time and a place. And, you know, obviously she wants to get these important things off her chest and she's being open with her new husband, and that's to be respected. But, yeah, there's a time and a place, and I think she's missed it completely on this one.
Girlfriend. Oh. It's a girlfriend chat.
No. Okay. Thanks, Ian. Danielle of Collingwood Park, what do you reckon?
Look, I'm with Marto on this one.
Whoa. Okay, what wow. Tell me why.
It's way too heavy, too fast. They've only just met each other. Mm. Is she trying to scare him off?
Well, but see, the thing is, maybe. The difference in this, like I agree, on first date, like for normal people, it would probably be too much. But the fact that they've actually made a commitment and they're going to try everything to move forward, surely early is better.
No, I think it was just the wrong placement for the wrong time. Like, she should have just kept that for later on.
Danielle, have you been watching it?
Yeah, I have.
Me too, which is a bit of a surprise. Kath made
no,
me.
No, it's not. You
they
do
were
it all
kissing
the time.
Really well, the two of them. And they should have just kept it to the kissing and the physical and low key and all the rest of it, don't you reckon?
Look, I think she's totally attracted to him and she says so all the time.
Yeah.
Why drop something so heavy on him so quick?
Yeah, we can't handle that.
What's kissing really well to you?
Oh, well, she was happy with the kissing and so was he.
Yeah.
Right.
She, well, there's no seminar that you go to. If your faces fit together, they fit together.
Okay.
Like an absolute builder.
Let's construct
the right
this tool one
for the job.
That one.
But don't you reckon their faces fitted together all right?
I do.
Okay,
yeah.
Can you stop talking?
And they reeled away
from
the
join.
Yeah.
You're wigging me out. Steve of Birkdale, what do you think
you're
about this?
You're going home to have a look, aren't you?
Yeah, get it, guys.
Hello, mate.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn. I'm sort of sitting on the fence between it. So I think you both got really good points. It's a strange situation being a reality TV show. So at the end of the day, like in a normal situation, you'd want to have fun for a few dates. But then if you do feel like you're starting to get serious, then obviously you got to drop your bombshells. Like,
it's
you need
something
to know
I need to tell you.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think you do that straight up, or certainly not on the first or second date, you know what I mean? There's a mix, there's both that happen.
But do you know what, Steve? If he had reacted the completely opposite way, if he'd been emotive in his response, saying that's a terrible story or is empathetic, he would have got to first base. I mean, I think he was already there, but he would have like careered forward in her opinion and she would have been so keen to do anything he wanted.
For everyone, doesn't it really, when you think about it? If someone's accepting of you for your bad parts, then you're immediately more attracted to them, so of course that's going to work.
Steve, you are a smart man and I want to reward you. We have a meat tray, would you like it?
Sure, why not?
Oh. Yeah.
You're making
person
too much sense, mate. You need the meat sweats.
Was he the only person that didn't disagree with you?
Pretty
so you've
much
given him a meat tray.
Meat tray.
You disagree with someone. And
yes.
He gets it. Paddamore's Meats. Serving the Redlands since 1979. Every day is gourmet at Paddamore's Meats. Well done, Steve, on that meat tray. However, 95% of listeners agreeing with Marto there.
Oh, yeah. That's not important.
Okay. That's why. He didn't want to hear her story. He's just trying to give her a meat tray. You know what I mean?
Okay, so this was the announcement last night.
A humble family SUV has been named Car of the Year. The Volvo XC40 taking up the top honour in Wheels Magazine's annual awards. Judges say the model, which starts at $45,000, won on function, safety, technology and value.
They've done it again.
But it's a Volvo.
They won last year too.
Okay.
XC60, they're getting smaller. XC40. 40s one this year. What does it mean?
I don't know, but I'm such a child of the 70s that a Volvo to me was some boxy car that a guy going to bowling would have with a hat in the back.
Well, that's exactly right. It was a box with windows.
Yeah.
But now they're bloody good. Well, obviously they're bloody good cars.
Are they though?
They used to be very safe. Why did before airbags existed, Volvos were safest car on the road. And as you say, that's the 70s and 80s. Yeah. I don't know. So,
before airbags, they just had the softest dash. Is that
either that or the hardest side so that other cars, it just bounce off them.
Why doesn't every car have rubber around the outside of it? Like it works at Dodgems.
No, it doesn't. It just smash into each other.
Yeah, but they bounce
off. I think taking it off makes it so you don't want to hit things, you know?
No, but if you put rubber around, you know, we wouldn't have to do a traffic report every 15 minutes discussing the accidents. The accident happened and people go, oh, see, it just
It'd make the
away.
Car too heavy, wouldn't it? If you added rubber
light
to
rubber.
The round. Well, then what's the use of it? Light rubber, well, it's still ba-ding.
You wouldn't need ambos. You just need a carny to jump on the back and it'll be reverse out.
I had an interesting scenario unfold in my house last night. My eldest son has his driver's license. He got it nearly 12 months ago.
How old is he?
He's 18.
Hold on.
Show off.
Oh, your eldest one's got his license.
But my middle guy...
Is he 16 yet?
Turns 17 in April.
So he can get his license if he's done his 100 hours.
We're desperately trying to get his hours up, and we've decided that the way to do that is with a driving instructor, because you can get more
time. Three times. Every driver instructor hour is worth 3 hours, Nick. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you bid to get your 100 hours.
And my feisty middle son and I clash a fair bit, so me being in a car with him is possibly not the best idea.
Yeah. Oh, no, Mum should never teach him.
I did okay with my eldest, but my middle guy, we both agreed it's not a good idea. So my husband Sean was ringing around to try and find a driving instructor with a manual car. Because for me, I consider, and I'm very definite about this, that being able to drive a manual is a life skill. And you need to know how to do it. And I know that there's only apparently 10% of cars sold now in this country that are manual.
Is it 10%? Yeah. Is that it?
Yep, 10 to 15%. But yeah. I just feel that in life, it's a skill you need.
Why?
Yeah.
Because...
Tell me why.
Well, okay, if you travel to Europe, a lot of European cars are manual. If you go on a farm and you have to get in a tractor... Okay, it's not the this is way. So or I've a
got,
truck.
I've wow. got my automatic license, right? Everybody gives me the same scenario. Mm. Bro, imagine if you're in the bush tractor. And the only way out's an 18-wheel truck that's a manual. It's like, that's not going to happen, or I'm going to die in the bush.
I'm with you, actually. You put it into first, you can drive.
Okay, can I also tell you that a police officer told me when my eldest son was going for his license, he said, make sure you buy him a manual car. And I said, why? And he said, because it is much harder to text and drive when you drive a manual. And I have taken that.
They'll still do it. Therefore,
they can't do it. It's almost impossible to hold a phone, use your clutch, and drive a car.
Almost impossible. They're kids and they want to send a text. You're making it.
Actually,
I hate people sending texts
when
they drive.
I know you do, but I just feel, I got shouted down at home. And I got told by this driving instructor, because we rang her and she said, oh, I've given away my manual car because no one was asking to drive it.
She stopped offering lessons in a manual car.
Yep.
Oh, but that's new technology.
A sign of the times.
Like automatic, it's clearly the way of the future, you know what I mean? Just because manual once was a thing. Are you going to teach your son how to change a tyre on a penny farthing? No.
Okay, penny farthings don't exist. That is a stupid example.
Well, manuals are about to be extinct as well.
No, they're not.
See you later.
I think I was told in North America, Canada and USA, they don't sell manuals anymore.
Yeah, but in Europe
We'll go that way, won't we?
No. I mean, just because, and it is, it's Asian cars, like Japanese cars and, you know, Korean cars.
Manual?
No, they're auto. And that's the majority of the cars in this country. Mm. I get it. But I still think it's a life skill.
No, not at all. It's 2019. Why don't you churn your own butter? You know what I mean? It's the future.
I changed my tune after first child. I made get a manual. Second child, I said, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not soft. Yeah. Okay.
So you're not going to drop that?
I'm not. I've got three sons and they will all learn how to drive manual cars.
So you'd rather he was returned after his drive, because it is harder to get your manual license.
It is.
And he fails, the shame with which he returns to school that day when they all go, how'd you go?
Okay, you don't tell the school.
Mum made me.
You don't tell anyone that you're going for your license.
I waited until I was 31 to get the license. No shame there. You get cheered on. It is harder to get a manual license. Having an automatic license is worse than having a manual license, but even worse than driving an auto is blokes that leave their hand on the stick in an auto as if they're driving a manual.
Oh, there you go.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's stolen valor. It's stolen car valor.
Mick of Brackenridge, tell me, should you be able to drive a manual to get a license?
No, I only think that's important for trucks. I mean, you shouldn't be able to get a synchro or auto license for trucks, but for cars, I think manuals are just outdated and overrated. You very rarely see a manual anymore.
Yeah, well, that's what we're saying. 10%. There's only 10%. I gave up after my first child. I said, Harry, my second one, you can get an auto.
But what about classic cars? Like, what about Mustangs and all those older 60s and 70s cars?
If you're interested, you'll learn.
Yeah, but what if you become
interested
later? You
don't want a 60s Mustang auto. That's fair. Yeah. I'll learn how to drive manual if I get one of those.
Yeah,
you can't have an automatic muscle car.
Exactly. Hello, Renee of the Sunny Coast. What do you reckon about this, manual, auto?
Manual, definitely, all the way. Yep, I got two kids, 18 and 20, boy and a girl. Yep, they have manuals. They learn to drive in manuals. They still drive manuals. Yep, definitely.
Is this so they can drive a tractor, or what? Why did you insist?
No, I just think, I went, Robin, you can put a four-year-old in a car and they can steer a car. Like, you know what I mean? You put a car in drive, you can steer it. Manuals, it takes a lot more concentration, a lot more skill, a lot more, like, everything in a manual, I think, is a lot harder. So, yeah, definitely.
I'm with you. I'm the only one in this studio who drives a manual, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
Correct.
But you're also the only one that owned a Mahindra.
Very true.
I've never owned, can I just put it right now, never owned a car that's an automatic.
Really?
Never.
Why?
That's incredible.
Why?
Because my dad carried on like you his whole life. And he forced
Let's be
me.
Honest, Mardo's car, he runs like with his feet on the floor.
Yes, right.
Like the Flintstones.
Flintstone style. Have we got another one?
Yeah, Michael of Caboolture. What do you reckon about the whole manual automatic debate?
Well, I was four-wheel driving and I lost my brakes on a steep hill and had to reverse down.
Uh-huh.
So I turned the car off and reversed down using the gears because I had no brakes. So manuals all the way.
That would have saved your life, potentially.
They will save your life.
Yeah.
Well, there was a nice drop at the bottom of the hill, so, yeah. It took us an hour to get down the hill, but here to tell the story.
How I look after my life is I generally don't go four-wheel driving in my Mazda 6.
Yeah.
I just keep it to the roads.
Got some results on my
3553. Have we got a percentage?
Yeah, we do, actually. Quite unbelievable.
Yeah.
80%. 87%, my goodness, it's gone up, of listeners say people should have to drive a manual to get a licence.
That's magnificent.
Well
That's
done. Thank you.
I love them.
I hope my family will listen.
And they're calling in while driving a manual. That is highly skeptical.
No, they're not.
They say money makes the world go round.
Show me the money.
Well, unless you're a flat earther, then you've got a whole lot of other issues going on.
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
Win $1 million with Triple M's Millionaire Listener.
Yeah, I'm living life in the fast lane.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody in the morning. And $1 million while you're at work. 104.5 Triple M.
Let's all welcome rugby league into the 21st century because slowly but surely the wheels turn round and it goes, oh, I see, we've got to make changes. The Storm have just announced that they will be axing all female cheerleaders in favour of a modern in-stadium experience by a gritty street crew.
Yeah, yeah.
Gritty street crew sounds like someone that like robs cars for the mob or something. You know
well,
what
that's,
I mean?
Or tap dogs.
All right, can I read you what they're doing? Gone are the buxom young cheerleaders, okay, that have been gracing rugby league forever. Here's the ad reads, new crew that will celebrate Melbourne's thriving arts and, what does that say, arts and culture scene, bringing together amazing performers from hip-hop, street, breakdancing and acrobatics. So it must be male and female to do all the stuff. So the Storm walk out, as you're probably aware, to AC/DC's Thunderstruck. That's how they enter. And then the gritty street crew will do their stuff and they'll score a try and they'll do their stuff and they'll kick a goal and they'll do their stuff.
Well, I am from Melbourne originally, and I don't think anything will fire up rugby league fans more than a bit of interpretive dance.
Do you know, though, I spent Christmas time in the States and took all the kids to the Utah Jazz basketball.
Mm-hmm. What have they got?
Well, they do have a small section of cheerleaders, but then they have this big group of both blokes and chicks that come out and do the kind of more American cheerleading, which where they make pyramids and they're fully athletic.
Well, that's a sport here now,
isn't
it?
Yeah, and it's a massively growing sport. But when you see the guys with the girls doing it, it's amazing. Like, it's amazing. It's like gymnastics cross dance.
Yeah.
That's what we should do.
Well, I think that's what the Storm are going to do. They did their research and they had focus groups. So they're well organised and they realise that in this era, you can't have, you know, a whole stadium perving on a group of, teenage girls dancing around. It's wrong. And I go to the Broncos and I get embarrassed by the fact that they've still got cheer girls. Are they the last organisation in Brisbane that has cheer girls on their own? I think so.
Ooh, does the union do?
Well, at the BBL the other week, we saw they've got like a dance crew as well.
Men and women. You can't just have girls anymore.
No.
I think that's gone. But rugby league thinks they can, so we'll see how that goes. But I'd like to ask the question of everyone else. Should we get rid of all cheerleaders, all female groups of cheerleaders? We've got to do the whole thing. It's got to be entertainment, not about Leary. I find myself at the Broncos going, bit wrong. Rugby got rid of theirs 10 years ago.
Maybe
AFL doesn't have any.
If you add blokes to the mix, it becomes a lot less about being pervy and more about just people having a great time. But aren't the cheerleading auditions on
this
weekend?
I looked up Brisbane Broncos 2019 cheerleader auditions. Here's your chance, Nick. Have you ever wanted to become a Broncos cheerleader? Now's your chance. on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Registration required. Participants must be over 18. No cheer experience required. Strong jazz technique preferred.
Okay. How many of them are coming straight from a night out of the valley? You know what I mean? Just straight there Sunday morning.
I'm ready to go.
They're not saying all girls, though, are they?
Doesn't say all girls, but I've never seen a bloke, anyone? I've never seen a bloke in the Broncos cheerleaders when I've been to games.
Oh.
I think Russell Crowe, if my memory serves me correctly, about 3 years ago he said, I'm not having no more cheerleaders for pervy fans. Mm. He stopped them. As far as I know, that's the only club other than the Melbourne Storm that has stopped all female cheerleaders.
Okay, 1-3-5-3.
If I'm old and pervy, if I say it, it must be wrong.
You are allowed to disagree with Marto. Should we get rid of all cheerleaders? Wayne of Hillcrest, what do you reckon?
No.
Great. No. You disagree. Why not? Tell us why.
Well, Brisbane Broncos grab the biggest crowds, don't they? And it adds to the entertainment and the atmosphere of it.
Actually, I love so much about the Broncos when they score the try, you know, doing the chugging with the arms and all that sort of thing. It's all fabulous.
I love watching you do it, Marto. Yeah. Get down there Sunday morning, 9 a.m.
So, Wayne, what do you like about it? Does it bother you that it's just all women?
Well, I don't care if they throw boys amongst the mix, but it's stop messing with tradition and stuff like that. The Reds got rid of it 10 years ago and they also got rid of getting a crowd at that same time.
No, that was 6 years ago. Hey, that's not a bad point, but does anyone go to the game to look at the cheerleaders? They're just they're a sub-product and they can't be... You can't have it in these days. I'm sorry. I've been so well taught, you know, you can't do this, you can't do
Mate,
that.
Mate, going to the Broncos game to watch the cheerleaders is like going to the strippers to watch rugby. You know what I mean?
It's a big breakfast on Triple M.
You know how they say cockroaches would survive anything, any nuclear... Yes. I believe that's incorrect. I believe that ants would outlive any other creature. Ants will outlive cockroaches, anything. Ants, they're just so overwhelming. There's more ants than any other creature on this earth, if you don't know. Ants are the king of this whole joint.
Okay.
Yesterday afternoon, can I put this to you? I need you to ring now if you know anything about ants. Are they on the move? Can I just confirm that everyone's got them on the move and then we'll discuss what this means?
Sure.
Ants are moving around and where are they going? They're going up because it is about to rain like nothing else in the next couple of weeks. Weather people won't say that because they can't use their maps and their charts and everything else. They won't back themselves. But my neighbour and I yesterday, 1-3-3-5-3, 1-3-3-5-3, if ants are on the move at your house, and we'll discuss what it means.
Where are they going?
They're going to higher ground. Ants are a very common sense pest or insect, okay? Mm. Very common sense. Most insects are. Most insects have got incredible sense. They know that in the next 14 days, their house is going to be flooded.
So they can't swim.
They can't swim. It's the only thing. Do you know meat safes? What a meat safe used to be?
Yeah, I've got one in my
fridge.
House.
Water around it, okay? Did you have water around yours so they can never get you? Or around a pet's food bowl, the best way to keep the ants out is to have a moat around there. Ants hate water. Correct? Okay. Is everyone sweet on this?
Well, clearly. Yeah.
If we've got any ant experts, would that be an entomologist? I don't know. 1-3-3-5-3 because...
A tiny vet.
Yeah. I haven't looked any of this up. It's just from years of living in Brisbane and my parents going, here come the ants. And as soon as you saw them coming up the stumps of the house, you'd know it's going to rain in the next 10 to 14 days.
I found them. I've got a cupboard full of toilet paper. You know, when you go out to Costco and you buy like vats of toilet paper and then I store them. Well, toilet paper I seem to be. I do have teenage boys. They go through a lot.
How much toilet paper you got?
Oh, probably 100 rolls.
What?
Wow.
Stacked everywhere.
Put that on the whiteboard. We need to get back to this.
Yes, continue.
Anyway, the ants have managed to come from outside through a deck into a bathroom and are camping themselves in the toilet paper cupboard.
Wow. That they would have grabbed stuff. So you watch them, if you look at them walking and stuff, and they're building themselves a nest. They've got food, they've got a bit of water in there.
Are they carrying it
They've got their furniture they would have brought from any ant furniture, whatever they sleep on.
Ant furniture.
Ant pillows. Some of them got pillows. That's what
Ant
they do.
Kia.
This time of year, it's about to, in the next 3 months, it's about to really start raining. And I'd reckon in another 2 weeks, my neighbour and I were hosing our lawns yesterday and going, ants are on the move. Dave and I looked at each other.
If they were super smart, they'd just build their house above the thing in the first place.
And stay there. I know. But then they like to go back down to the ground. I don't know
why.
Well,
Steve of Meadowbrook.
Entomologist.
Are you an entomologist?
Me, no. I'm a greenkeeper.
Oh, right.
That'll do.
Have you noticed them on the move?
Absolutely, on our golf course.
Righto. And are you onto the theory? Yours will be heading up to trees, and others head up into houses. Are you onto the same theory it's going to start raining soon?
Absolutely, middle of February.
Okay, so can you pinpoint it based on when the ants start moving?
Yep. They actually come when it gets to the kind of rain, they actually come onto our green. So, yes, they are covering our green, so there is ants everywhere.
Which golf course are you at, Steve?
Meadowbrook. So you're actually doing the advertisement for our driving range.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
excellent.
Listen, because the greens are some of the highest points, so the ants go to there knowing they won't get flooded.
Correct.
Oh, no.
Okay, you're happy with that?
I am. I've got backup from an absolute expert.
Myrmecology. Is that the name of ants? You're a myrmecologist.
Having a look at the upcoming weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shower or two for the next 6 days from Saturday.
Hey. No, that's only showers. I mean, like Noah's Ark type.
Build an ark, everyone.
Where are the ants in Townsville then?
Well, they would have been up there weeks ago. They would have got up it weeks ago. They're smarter than we are, I'm telling you.
You've been warned.
But the ones in North Queensland all got a can of beer in their hand.
Triple M.